We continue our study on child rearing. This is child rearing number 5. Proverbs chapter 22. Let's pray together. Father, we come before you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that as we look at the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God, that it might be fastened into each mind to hear, and that these suggestions might help folks to rear their children in a godly fashion that might bring joy to them and a particular joy to the God of heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last time we looked at what I would call a comfortable house of horrors. By accident, looking for a ball game, I came across Nanny 911, and the children were so distasteful that it riveted our attention. The children, they spit at the mother, they sassed her, they bit her, and one thing was consistent. They disobeyed her every time. Absolutely every time, they disobeyed her. That was a great consistency. It's the wrong kind of consistency, but it was a consistency. They seemed to delight in trying to smash toys. They deliberately made messes in this house. They hit the mother when they had the opportunity to. And though it was a beautiful home, it had to be a house of horrors for that mother. I don't know how you could enjoy life if you had the most spectacular house in all the world, and yet your children were cruel to you on a regular basis. Now, in using that as an example for our study, I suggested that each of you memorize verse 15, Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. This sentence that is written by Almighty God has more wisdom than 25 psychological books have. This sentence written by Almighty God gives you the answers that you need in dealing with children. First of all, you realize foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So you say, foolishness is bound in the heart of my child because God said so. I believe it. And then the remedy for the foolishness is the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Of course, the rod has to be used correctly. So you need to memorize this. I'm helping you memorize it by repeating it often enough. You need to memorize this because it gives you the answer. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of my child. I realize that. The rod of correction will drive it far from it. And then you need to put it into practice. Now, I also suggested last week when I dealt with what was wrong with that family and how to change it, I suggested that it could be turned around in an hour. I mean, it was an absolute horror show all the time. This woman's whole life, I'm sure, whenever she was home with the children, it was a horror show. But it could be turned around in an hour. I backed that up not with theory to say, you know, I'm the preacher who says that. It must be true. But I said that I've turned around those kind of situations. And I use that just as an example. Now, I hope everyone understood it was an example of dealing with the worst of situations. When I was dealing with the young people, I was dealing with the worst of situations. The students who were essentially kicked out of the public school because the public school could not handle their terrible behavior, and then they were placed in a special kind of education. These were bad teens. It might be accurate to say that they were young hoodlums. And I handled those young hoodlums. You put certain things into practice, it works. Now, you don't have young hoodlums. You don't have young hoodlums. Mostly, I think we could say that our children are as good a children as you will find, except for one thing. The Lord said foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So there's going to be foolishness bound in the heart of my children and your children. Now, I've always taught, and I now state again, on this matter of spankings. You shouldn't have to do much spanking if you do it right when they're young. You shouldn't have to do it a lot if you do it right. Tonight's message is not about how to do it right. That'll be for another time. It's a good goal to do as few spankings as possible. Of course it's a good goal because as parents we don't like to do that. But the Bible says the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There is time when it has to be used. Now, if the mother in the comfortable house of horrors would go after it big time, as I suggested, if she would do what I suggested, she could turn around the house of horrors quickly. Of course, she might believe that spanking is terrible. And if that's the case, and that's why she doesn't, she's reaping the misery of disobedience to God. But I perceive that there was another big problem in that house, other than what I dealt with last week and the way she handled things. I believe there was another big problem in that house. And last week I said we'd look at that this week. Now, remember, last week I said they obeyed their dad, but they didn't obey their mother. Here is a crucial child-rearing truth. Mother and dad have to work together. They need to both discipline the same way. They need to be in one accord in dealing with their children. There were two interesting incidents on the program. One actually showed that there was this rare time when Dad and Mom were working together, and it was good. Actually, what it was Dad was backing up Mom. Mom said something, but Dad was right there, you know, saying, yeah, you got to do it. So, you know, he was backing her up. So essentially, because he was there, it was really because they obeyed him. The other incident was very interesting. Dad takes Mom outside the house. Of course, the TV cameras are inside the house at this point. He takes her outside the house, and he is yelling at her. And he's apparently really yelling at her. They don't have the TV cameras on him, but he's apparently really yelling at her. And everybody's horrified about this, the way he's yelling at her outside the house. I guess that's the only place he could get privacy was outside the house. So he's yelling at her outside the house. You know, and they're peeking out the window, you know. Looking, and the nanny looks out there, you know. All right. Now, if that argument had to do with child rearing, you know things are really bad. If that argument had to do with child rearing, and why wouldn't that argument have to do with child rearing, as the whole program is about child rearing, and everything that's going on is about child rearing, and then this argument comes? I mean, it seems like it. But if they're arguing about how to rear the children, this is bad. You know, there are houses where the mother strongly disagrees with the father's methods. And if the children know that the mother thinks the father is far too harsh, that's a death knell. And you know, in houses, typically the woman is softer. Typically the woman is softer. Now, sometimes a woman is very strong on right and wrong and on discipline, and the dad just disappears. You know, he doesn't do anything. He just doesn't bother the least bit with child rearing. I'll tell you something. When the children get the slightest hint that mother disagrees with dad on punishment, you've got a real problem. And I can tell you somewhat of that by experience. Bad experience that happened in my family. Let me set it up this way. One of the famous incidents in my upbringing, maybe I was about 7 years old, six, seven, maybe eight, and my mother is spanking me with a hairbrush. You know, one of these hairbrushes that have stiff bristles. And she's spanking away, and I know this is not your ordinary spanking, and so I yell out, Mom, you're spanking me with the wrong side. So she turned that thing over and started spanking over again. You know, she meant business when she was spanking. That's how I was reared by my mother and father. When my brother came along, he was 12 years younger, I could see my mother go into a fake cardiac arrest if my father was going to spank him. I could see that. And you know, my mother had a condition. She did have a condition, and whenever something would happen, nobody knew why, but it would suddenly be just like that. Her heart would stop. She would faint. She'd faint dead away, and her heart would be stopped. And it would be dangerous, and this happened many, many times, and my father thought my mother was going to die. Well, you know, I mean, that's what she'd get all flustered when she thought my father was going to spank my brother. And I think the spankings pretty much disappeared from my brother because my mother looked upset enough so that my father was afraid to upset her anymore. The same woman that spanked me with the other side of the hairbrush suddenly doesn't think that spankings are the right thing anymore. And so my father backs off. Now, I want you to get this. Because you know what? A lot of people don't think right. A lot of people don't think. They observe things in a church, you know, and they never know. They never, you know, John the Baptist said the axe is laid to the root of the tree, you see. And most Christians are dealing with the autumn leaves falling off and the wind blowing them away. They don't get down to the root of things. And here's that. Here's what I'm getting at. You know what? When you would have seen my father and my mother and my brother sitting in church all those years, it was, you know, they had moved from different places, so you know, and I would have been in college as he was growing up, you know, and then married as he was growing up. If you would have seen him, you wouldn't have thought there was anything different than there had ever been in the family. Nobody would have recognized that he was being reared differently than I was. Nobody would have ever known that. You see things at church, you don't really know what's going on. Well, I think most of you know that my brother got to be a very sad drunk. Hopefully he's doing somewhat better now. Been dealing with him. But that was his life. Ruined his marriage, ruined his job, and all kinds of bad things. Well, he had a different upbringing than I had. Same house, same Christian parents. He had a different upbringing because he had a different mother. Now, it was the same Thelma Anderson, but it was a different mother. My Thelma Anderson, he believed in spanking. his Thelma Anderson, though the same woman, didn't believe in spanking. And I know she didn't believe in spanking, because when I had little children, and she says, "When I come to visit you, I hope you're not going to spank the children." "Then you better not come to visit me, because I am going to spank the children." Well, you know what? She reaped a life of grief. She reaped a life of grief. You know? She really did, about her son, that she didn't believe in spanking. But nobody would have ever seen it in while he was in church with them. Nobody would have ever recognized that, see? You know, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the mother in the comfortable house of horrors on that show strongly disagreed with her husband spanking the children. And oh, was she ever paying the price. She didn't want to spank their behind, but she took them biting her arm. This was kind of ridiculous. The husband and the wife have to have a united front. They have to have success. If the children think there's an argument over discipline, they get a lot mixed up and they use it and it doesn't work out. It doesn't. If they both obey the word of God, it turns out good. And Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Now, somebody might say, what about the single parent? Well, you know, the single parent, of course, has an advantage that they will not be contradicted in the home because there's not another person in the home. Unfortunately, that advantage is so far outweighed by the disadvantages in the home, it makes it difficult. I mean, God made it that there'd be a father and a mother for a home. But the problem starts with the children. The children are going to have a problem if they have a mother taking care of them or a father taking care of them. And the reason that that is so destructive in the home is because the person who left the home and the children, that person is extremely selfish. And that's what, after all is said and done, they are extremely selfish. And it's easy to prove, it's easy to demonstrate. Because the reason they left is because they only cared about themselves and their personal wants, their personal desires. And they had no concern about the upbringing of their children. No matter how much they say they love their children, they do not love their children. They love themselves. And they then desert the children, and they do not bring up the children. They desert the children. They do not love them. They loved themselves. They loved what they wanted in life, and they did not care about the children. And it doesn't matter how much they say they care. If they cared, they would have stayed. It doesn't matter what they say. If they cared, they would have stayed until the children were reared and out of the home and live it if they cared more about the children, but they don't. And to follow the selfishness, then the selfishness continues because they want the rights to enjoy the children without rearing them. That's what always happens. They want the rights to enjoy the children without rearing them. They want to be able to see the children on the weekend or whatever it is. They want to be able to see the children and enjoy the children without having to have reared the children and to discipline the children and to teach the children.
They just wanted to have a few enjoyable times with the children. The reason for that is because they're selfish. They want to enjoy themselves by being out of the house and being with somebody else. And then they want to have the children just to enjoy them for a few months. They do not love the children. They love themselves. The love of self is so overwhelming. They do not love the children. And then what they do is, then they give those children things to curry favor with the children so the children will really like them in spite of their desertion. And they tend to be extremely lenient in their discipline on the children so that the children think that the person who does love them, who is rearing them, is an ogre. So while the single parent works hard in child rearing, the selfish parent is destructive. It's hard. It's hard. And you know what? Since I've been in the ministry for over 30 years, I've been dealing with this. I've been dealing with people who have had to go through these things. Now, what do? Well, I got an answer for every problem. I do have an answer for every problem. You know, it's always the same answer, and you ought to be used to this answer by now. You ought to know this answer by heart. It's the answer for every problem you ever have in life, and that is, you do the right thing and trust the Lord for the rest. That's what you really have to do. You do the right thing and you trust the Lord for the rest. We're saved and we got a Heavenly Father. And a Heavenly Father loves us and He's going to help us. And so we just do say, you know, what's the right thing to do in this situation? I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to let the Lord take care of the rest. I'll just keep doing the right thing and I'll let the Lord take care of the rest. That's how we live our life. And that's what you must do. Because the Bible says, casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. Right. Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you. So if you'll just stay faithful to the Lord, and then you'll love your children, and you give them good words, and you train them, and you listen to them, and you discipline them. And you know, that matter of listening, I mean, that's worth the whole instruction time of itself, you know? If your child... can rely on you to be a good listener. Oh, that helps. Many a child will never say anything to their parent because they think the parent's going to explode. Condemn them. But if a child knows, my parents will listen to me, you know, then they can talk to you. And be a good listener. Always be a good listener. All the way through their growing up life, be a good listener. But if you're always doing right, the Lord can rescue bad situations. He really can. I've seen it. And it takes plenty of prayer. All right? So you want to have, first of all, a biblical two-parent home. And that biblical two-parent home, the husband must lead in the training. The husband who is too busy, he's too busy to spend the right amount of time with the child, he's got to rearrange his priorities and spend enough time with the children. If he's too busy, then there's something wrong. Because you know what? The toughest thing there is in all life is not making money or driving down the road or getting up in the morning to go to church. It's not the toughest thing in life is rearing children. The toughest thing. And it's the most important thing. And if you don't do it, you got a mess on your hands. That woman had a mess on her hands. You wouldn't want to be in her position. You see, the husband has to lead. And if he's too busy to lead, there's something wrong in his life. And he'll pay later. He will pay later. You got to rearrange his life. He's got to rearrange his priorities to say, I'm going to spend the time that I need to spend with my children because that is the most important possession I have. It's not my house. It's not my car. It's not my truck. It is my children. Then the wife follows the husband's lead. And she does follow the husband's lead. She doesn't lead the husband. She follows the husband's lead. That's the way God made it. And if she goes her own way, or she disputes, or she wants to be soft, and that then she teaches the children disrespect for authority. And then the children learn how to manipulate the two of them, you know. And that happens. And as they get older, the children don't have to get A's in school to become A1A manipulators of the family. And they do it. You know, Mom, can we go over to Boozing Beverly's house tonight? No, of course not. Sit in, you know, you move around, move around, move around, and you finally get to Dad, you know? Now the request is similar, but it's not the same. I mean, Dad, can we go for a few minutes to beautiful Beverly's house? Uh-huh. Okay. And then pretty soon, Mother sees them all dressed and going out the door. Where are you going? Dad said we could. That's manipulation. Kids are great at it. They're really great at it. They do it. You've got to work together. God gave the dad the lead, the wife follows, but they are unified in their discipline because they take their discipline from the Word of God and say, this is what the Word of God teaches, this is how we're going to do it. And we're going to do it the same together. Have you memorized this verse yet? Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness bound the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. If you know that your child's going to do foolish things, you can be prepared for it. And then you got to take the proper steps. So you have this memorized. Yeah. My child did that because God said foolishness is bound the heart of a child. You know, it puts everything on a different plane. You know, my child did that. You know, when your child misbehaves in a school and we do something to him, you don't have to be super embarrassed as if your child is the embarrassment of all the world. No, you know what? All the children are the same. Foolishness is bound the heart of a child. But the rod of correction. Sometimes in a school, we don't use a rod on them, but we have other methods to try to get their attention not to do things badly, you see. So, foolishness is bound the heart of a child. Things are going to happen. With the children, they're going to do foolishness. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from. So we have correction. I hope you memorize that and then put it to work in your life. Let's bow for prayer. As our heads are bowed, the Lord has spoken to your heart about some aspect of what you have heard tonight. Would you deal with it right now? Would you confess it to the Lord? Would you say, Lord, help me. Help me and strengthen me, Lord, to do it the way I should be doing it according to the Word of God. Would you do that, Charlie God? Father in heaven, we pray for God's people that they might be strengthened to rear their children, that they might have the joy of the Lord in their children and put these things into practice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.